This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Friends, welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm your host, Nessie. It's impressive how elusive I am. I've been dodging cameras as early as 1933. You may be asking, was I even around at that time? No one really knows, and I'm not going to tell you. I have a special guest with me today, Ashley Wiltshire. She's a certified canine hydrotherapist and canine nutrition coach. She helps dedicated dog owners restore their pets' mobility and comfort through holistic, science-backed care. She offers modern in-clinic hydrotherapy and a 12-week custom at-home exercise program for conditions like IVDD, arthritis, and post-surgery recovery. Trusted by orthopedic specialists and Blue Pearl Dallas, Ashley's approach is both professional and personal. When she's not helping dogs thrive, she enjoys horse riding, fantasy novels, and traveling with her family and three dogs. Welcome to our show, Ash.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So where are you based out of? I'm guessing Texas?
Yes, we're in Wiley, Texas at the moment. I say at the moment. And we've been here 5 years. We've got a lot of awesome changes coming up this year. So I'm not sure how long we'll stay in Texas. We're definitely looking at other places in the USA to move to. But yes, I'm in Wiley, Texas at the moment.
Exciting. So you'd be moving the whole family and the dogs, huh?
Yeah, well, we did a massive move. As you can tell, I'm not from Texas, from the UK.
I noticed a small accent, maybe.
Did a massive change 5 years ago, just before COVID, brought the whole family over. At that time, we only had Sam, our Labrador. So he traveled over in his own crate. He actually had a nicer flight than me and the kids, actually. But yes, that was a big move and a, you know, culture shock for all of us. But we settled and we had the business during COVID.
That's very gosh, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I'm glad we were here. Let's just say that. But yeah, so we are considering moving to a different state. I think coming from the UK where it's really cold and then coming to Texas where it's really hot, we need something in the middle.
Yeah, don't come to Florida then because it's ugly hot here. Yeah. No, not a fan. That's where I am. I heard everything was bigger in Texas. Portion sizes and the hats and the boots. So that was probably a shock.
Yeah.
What got you interested in hydrotherapy?
I've got Sam. He's 15 actually now. He just turned 15 this year. And he's always loved water. And I've always, growing up, I wanted to be a vet. And that didn't happen for one thing or another. But I've always worked with animals from like age 12. So I knew from a young age I wanted to do something with animals. And because he loved water, me and my husband were like, what could we do together when we move over to America? What do we both enjoy? Like, we both love animals. We both want to help them. I honestly can't tell you how we like fell into the hydrotherapy. I can't remember the moment when I was like, oh yeah, hydrotherapy. I just remember that we started taking Sam to some hydrotherapy centers near us in the UK. And we were just really like, wow, this is so cool. Love it. You're in the water with the dogs, helping them, you know, or they're there for fun. Like, what a great job that could be. And it's hands-on. So yeah, we both thought, let's do it. Let's give it a go. And so we did all of our training over there. And I would say they're a lot more advanced when it comes to hydrotherapy, the training in the UK, just because I like how they've got it over there, because it's not just, oh, you need to go to school and you're going to learn all of the things. It is, you can specialize in certain areas. So if you want to be a canine hydrotherapist and you want to specialize in that, you can do that. If you want to do canine physiotherapy, you can specialize in that. You want to do massage, you can do it. You know, so it's all split because everybody works together. And I feel like with that training and specializing in a certain area, I feel like you get more out of it.
So the general approach for hydrotherapy over there is more hands-on and not just about sticking the dog in the treadmill and walking and putting him on a harness. I can tell you right now, if you went on a forum and saw anyone that had put a dog in with no one in it, if you were in the right forum, everyone's going to have a go at you. You're not doing hydrotherapy. You need to be in that treadmill. Because if you're in there, we can support the dog. We can put our hands on the hip. If we're swaying or not placing down in the correct way, like, we can help them place. We can do some stretches. We can do some exercises in the water other than walking or swimming or trotting to basically work on those different muscle groups. So a dog's tight in their hips. Okay, what can we do to help them stretch out in the hip? They've got a lot of muscle wastage in the back end. Right, what else could we be doing to build up that muscle other than walking? So that's what I love about it, is that the training over there, I know I've digressed off why we got into it.
It's okay. No way.
But I think it's important to understand how different it is. And really, I think how that got me into it was knowing and seeing how we do hydrotherapy over there. I think if you come over here and you do hydrotherapy, it's really basic. It wouldn't get me excited. Do you know what I mean? Like, you go in and your dog's just in the treadmill walk. Whereas I'm seeing people in that treadmill being creative. That's what it's about. Trying to find out what works for that dog so you can maximize the treatment itself and get the best results. And then we're talking to the owners about it. So they're understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I just think that, to me, keeps me excited about what I'm doing.
That's actually really good. I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew that we had some hydrotherapy here. I know the closest place here is in a vet hospital, and I think it's just a water treadmill, and, you know, they just kind of put you on and go about, and that's it. That's your hydrotherapy.
Yeah, and I think we are getting out there a little bit more. I did get asked if we wanted to be a training hub for a company, yeah, in the UK, but because we've got some changes going on, I can't do it at the moment because we're about to not have our pool for a little while.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm having to put that on the back burner a second, but the company itself, that's who I did my training with. So it was really cool to have, you know, the lady who owns it. Hey, would you be interested in being a trainer hub? So I hope that's not been completely disregarded. We just have some fun, exciting new changes that we need to get in place first.
Hopefully they'll wait for you for that. So what is the funniest thing a dog has ever done during a hydrotherapy session?
I think, to be honest, if I'm being honest, it's more like the people that come in that you get, you're just like, are really bizarre.
I could believe that.
Yeah.
I've met a few.
And then obviously their dogs are probably not as well behaved as some of the other dogs that come in. And so we did have one that came in, and the only way I could get that dog to walk in the treadmill, and honestly, I've never had a dog do this before. We always start slow. You've got to start slow, and you really ease them into it to just gauge what they're going to do. And I mean so slow, because I've had dogs, if you start with the normal speed straight away, they just freeze and they're like, oh my God, the bell's moving. And then you're just like, oh, okay, you got to keep walking. So we start really slow, and I did for this dog, and they literally, I can't even explain what they did. They just went absolutely nuts. Like, they were like trying to swim but trying to walk, and it was crazy. So anyway, the only way we could get this dog to actually walk forward in the treadmill was the owner using a balloon and a laser pen. Yeah, she obviously think like use lasers with a dog, which is a big no-no, because, like, you know, there's no end reward for the dog. She obviously lets her dog play with balloons because the dog's obsessed with balloons, and I'm like, I wouldn't do that either. But
no. Drop roll easy, bro.
No, so I know it was all wrong on so many levels. It really was. But anyway, so there was that one. And then the other one I had, and this comes down to littermates. Do not get dogs from the same litter. Like, unless you know what you're doing, don't get them. Because I see, like, all the time when they come in, they are a nightmare because they're so, I say wet, because they're just literally, they've got no confidence. One of them's worse than the other. I had two mountain dogs come in, two siblings.
Oh, wow. Big dog.
Yeah. Biggest, massive babies ever, because they were siblings. It wouldn't even walk back to the treadmill. It it collapsed and did the dead dog thing.
Oh,
yeah. So that was a good start. Anyway, get in the treadmill and we fill up the water and we're not even moving at this point. And the dog just does the dead thing, starts sliding out, leaning onto the glass and sliding down. And I just stood there and watched it. I'm like, you know, if he goes under, he's going to come back up and that's going to be a bit of a shock to the system. So I'm stood there again and he's sliding and he goes under and I'm like, oh no, he's not coming back up. Right, okay.
He was just going to let her go.
Yes! Oh my god. I can't deal. I cannot deal.
No survival instinct.
No, none at all. Like, literally, the biggest baby. So, yeah, those two were my wildest experience. As you can imagine, they did not last long with us because they just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it.
Weren't the right.
They, but, you know, fight for effort.
Right. That worked. So, in a simple to understand explanation, what is hydrotherapy?
I think one of the common things I get that's misunderstood when clients come into us, they just think, oh, water, that's hydrotherapy. You know, the key difference between a dog swimming in a lake or a river or a pool, you know, even during winter, is the temperature of the water. You need to have that temperature around. We have our pool at like 87, 89.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. So, and it's the difference being is the warmth of the water means the blood goes to the muscles, it goes to the joints, it goes everywhere that we need it to go to help with inflammation. If you go in cold water, the blood goes to your vital organs and we're not getting that benefit of what we're trying to achieve with the inflammation and pain relief. That's the key difference. And then other than that, you've got buoyancy, viscosity, hydrostatic pressure, and the drag. So the buoyancy, obvious, you know, you put water in up to a certain level, you're going to take the weight off the dog. So you've got that element. The viscosity is the thickness of the water, or water's water. Hydrostatic pressure is when, so for example, I wear waders when I get into the pool. That is hydrostatic pressure. So the longer legs you have, the tighter it feels on you. So my feet, because I'm 5'7" and the water is between 4 and 5 feet. So my feet are all the way down there with the waders on. You can feel that hydrostatic pressure on your legs. Like, it feels really tight. It feels good most of the time. Like, it's really nice and tight. So the dogs with longer legs have more of that than the dogs with shorter legs.
Is that a benefit for them?
Yeah, again, just it's the support. I would say for me, like, nerve stimulation, because I know how it feels on my legs. Also good for like blood flow. The other thing you've got to consider with dogs is with the drag. And the drag is basically the resistance. And they've got hair. So the hair is that drag and the resistance when they're swimming and moving. And again, the hairier the dog, the harder it is. Especially walking in the treadmill. And if you've done this yourself and walked in water up to your chest, it's not easy. If you need to run in water, that's a lot of core that you've got to put in to walk through. But not only that, balance. Most people, if they're running through water, they're not, you know, gliding through straight like they're running on land. There's a lot of arm work involved to try and keep yourself like aligned and not fall over when you're pushing yourself through the water. So dogs make it so easy, but it is actually really hard. And that's why it's a good form of exercise, just because of that benefit. You don't have to do a lot to get a good result out of it.
I actually couldn't imagine a dog with the amount of hair they have, what it feels like to them in the water. Because I know I've been tossed in the pool fully clothed before and feel like, oh my God, I can't even move. And that's a lot different than when you're in your bathing suit in a pool, when you have your limbs ready and, you know, has the pants on or the t-shirt or whatever. Like, you just move better. And then, so I would assume a dog's hair is like being in a pool fully clothed.
That is the perfect example.
That, are there different types of hydrotherapy then? Do you do it just for rehabilitation?
No, obviously the hydrotherapy is about having the key elements there, which is the warmth of the water, but you can do it for lots of different things. I mean, we get a lot of agility dogs in for conditioning. They do fast cat and fly ball and all of that stuff. And they've seen their time improve just from adding in some treadmill. I think it was on the news recently. I can't remember if it was Crufts or some big dog show over here, I think, in New York. And the lady was on the news. I think I shared it as a post. She was saying the things that she does to keep her dog in shape for the shows was hydrotherapy and laser therapy. So I would say we do get a lot of rehab patients in. We get a lot of agility or fitness dogs coming in. I get overweight dogs coming in, so we can try and add some exercise in because maybe the owners have been brutally honest and said they don't do anything at home. So they bring them into us. Then we also get the really old dogs, the geriatric ones as well. And for them, it's all about keeping them comfortable.
What would you say is the biggest misconception people have about it besides it's just a spa day, right? Like, they're just playing in the water.
Yeah, I guess some people lack that understanding. I've had phone calls before when the wife's called me and they want to come in. And then they've said, right, I just need to talk to my husband about it and explain to him what we're doing. I just think it's just a lack of understanding of what it actually is. And I think the biggest misconception is that I'll just do it at home. And people are like, well, I'll just swim the dog in my pool. And I'm like, it's not as simple as that. Like, because obviously when we're in the pool with the dogs, there's either one or two of us in there. One supporting on the front, one supporting on the back. And depending on what we're dealing with, you know, one wrong turn for that dog could mean they're paralyzed because we're dealing with back issues. Or the same with a geriatric dog. You've got to be conscious of how long they're swimming for and be mindful of their heart rate. And will they have an adequate rest? If they're twisting and turning and fighting it, obviously they're going to be sore when they finish. So it's not as easy as, oh yeah, you take your dog home and swim them. I'd say you definitely need some training. Unless your dog is one of those that loves the water and you can chuck in a ball, they're going to retrieve it and come out. They know their exit points and it's a safe entry and exit. I just don't recommend it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, why do you think the dachshund jumped into the pool?
I don't know. Why did the dachshund jump in the pool?
Because he was a hot dog.
We get so many of those at our place. Yeah, those Frenchies and Corgis are the three main breeds we get in that have constantly got back issues.
I actually think it's time to start our first review. Are you familiar with Pokemon by chance?
Yeah, through my kid.
Okay. Well, I thought it would be fun if our theme today was the water-based Pokemon. So our first review is going to be from Squirtle. He's a turtle-looking Pokemon. I only picked the originals because I was playing during the time of the originals. I'll be done by the time all the new ones were added. So
I do recognize Squirtle's name, so we're good.
Perfect. So our first item is a pool toy by the brand Kuban Tail. I probably said it wrong. I'm not real sure. It is a floating dog chew toy for aggressive chewers with a rope for interactive fetch and play. And it acts like a shark. I have a 1-star review from Squirtle.
Oh, how come?
They said, the item does what it says, but it is an extremely heavy toy that has some jagged, not sharp, edges. If you're playing with your dog and accidentally make a bad throw that hits him in the head, which I did, it hurts. I don't recommend this item for that reason. It's like playing with a rock that floats.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good toy.
Throwing your toy at the dog?
Just be honest, I wasn't made for sport, so I can't imagine my throw is any good.
Wait, when I see a game of Thatcher, when I play with my dog, they're at my feet.
Yeah, it would be.
If this is a pool toy and you're throwing it into a pool, are you not like aiming for his head at that point? How did you do that?
Yeah, unless they're stood right next to you and you spring the...
Did you throw that bad that he's at your feet and you hit him in the head? Or are you aiming for him out in the yard? Like, what happened? It's a mad squid. Squirtle. I'm calling him Squid. But it does what it says. It's just a rock that floats, which is crazy because I don't think most rocks float. Mm-mm. No, not naturally. If you've seen those river rocks, in fact, they're at the bottom of the river and they're so smooth because the water just rushes over them. And that wouldn't happen if they were floating. So
no, that is true.
Yeah.
That's a good spot there.
few things wrong with that buddy, but we appreciate the info and we'll take that into consideration.
Yes, we won't get that one.
It was cute though, a little.
You just leak new. And I do have a couple of dogs that come in that absolutely destroy my bumpers that I've got. And I literally have to buy them every couple of weeks. So that might be a good thing is, dogs are picky when you're throwing stuff in. And you might want them to go and get the bumper, but they're more inclined for the ball or whatever. And yeah, so you've got to find what piques their interest.
Do you aim for their head? No.
I try not to, just because it's not good for business.
Right. Yeah, they usually don't come back.
The owners are there and they're watching them.
Right. I feel like it just is hard to do in the first place. So there's some bits missing from that story.
It's that time, pet friends. Let's take a short break here for a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. There is more fun to come.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth, and yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Is there a breakdown of maybe what pets might benefit from the hydro session the most?
Yeah, I would say a lot of the time they get the zoomies afterwards because it actually helps in releasing the happiness hormone.
Endorphins?
That's it. So it releases endorphins. So they, especially my 15-year-old Sam, he's still now, if I do even just an easy breezy session with him in the treadmill, he is running afterwards. And I'm like, you know, no, he's an old bum. And, you know, he's got spondylosis. He finds it difficult sometimes, but he always feels good after a session.
Oh, that's, yeah. I didn't expect you to say that they get zoomies afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some that just really get a bit wild when they get home, apparently, and are running around the garden.
That's fun. For those that are not from the UK, the garden is the yard, the backyard.
I still call it a garden.
I like that a lot, and I wish more people would do it that way. And if you're from the north, it's the yard, Boston. So, you know, it took many years of being in the south to get that out of me, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm holding on to my English accent with dear life.
Yeah, too. I like it a lot. It keeps you different. And you don't want a southern accent. It's not, like, when I talk to my family up north, they pick on me so bad.
I've got a girl that's working with me. She's moved from California and she's already saying things that are southern. Like, so instead of saying leg, she says leg. And I'm like, what? Yeah. But one, and this isn't her southern accent. I think this is just how she's been raised, but she can't say wolf. She says wolf. So she asked me the other day, she goes, why don't you take your children to Great Wolf Lodge? And I was like, well.
Where now?
Can you say that again? And we've established that she can't say wolf. I get great pleasure of asking her to pronounce things that have got wolf in it, like, you know, American werewolf.
Have her read an article to you about the dire wolves that they just brought back. Have her explain those to you.
Yes, that's a good one. Let's see.
That would be very funny. So you would recommend it for senior dog. What kind of rehabilitation are we talking? From a spay surgery or what level of rehabilitation?
The most common things that we get in through our door would be rehab after ACL repair, FHOs, and we get a lot of neurological cases. IV can do dogs that have had surgery and gone to Blue Pearl. We're on their referral list so they can choose to come to us. We deal with a lot of dogs that have lost affordability of the use of their back legs. And we've managed to, the majority of them, get them back on their feet. I'd say there's only a small number where we've had to say, look, this is the best we're going to get, you know. But yeah, I'd say they're the most common is ACL repair, FHO, and neurological dogs. We've had some hip dysplasia, we've had some elbow dysplasia, but if we're talking about rehab after surgery, that's the most common.
I bet that the neurological cases are probably the most complicated of them.
Yeah, and every single one is different. You've got to just make sure you're patient, because the body is a wonderful thing, and a lot of these dogs do end up getting your feeling back and, you know, able to walk.
Pretty impressive. This might be a weird question, but do you guys do hydrotherapy on cats?
We do, and we've got a fat cat coming in at the moment called Blatche. He got rescued by the owners. The owners are both vets, and it was a cruelty case. He is over 30 pounds. Honestly,
oh, wow.
Check him out on our Sam's Instagram or Facebook, because this cat's huge. He's coming to us to lose weight. And so we have, just the last couple of weeks, he has been losing a bit of weight. The downside with working with cats is they don't easily tell you when they need to go poop. So he code brown in my treadmill last week. That is never fun.
Mid stride, he was like, oh, now's the time.
No, he had stopped, and my hydrotherapist that was working with him at the time was like giving him pets. And then he was like, cool. And then he just pooped. It's never fun cleaning that stuff up. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially for a cat.
And they're usually in there in the treadmill with them. Oh, the experience that I'm glad I haven't had.
Yeah, no.
So you had mentioned sporting and agility dogs and how you use it to help them with conditioning. What kind of exercises do you do with them? Is it different from when you do your rehabilitation cases? Are you able to do more with them?
Yeah, so we can amp it up is what we call it. We might have a faster pace, like with trotting, but if they're willing to swim, we can do a bit of both and do a bit more high impact exercises. Other than that, you can use, like in the treadmill, you can use TheraBands to put a bit more resistance on the dog when they're moving, or to make it harder in the pool, we wouldn't have a life jacket on them to make it that little bit harder. But every dog typically is wearing a life jacket when they swim with us, mainly because the water's warm, so actually the heart rate is going to get faster anyway. It just feels harder when you're in warmer water swimming.
I'm actually glad you brought up a life vest, because our next review is on a doggy life vest. It is shaped like a shark fin.
There's a theme here. We're liking sharks.
That's kind of cute, right?
Yeah. I probably wouldn't use it myself.
This review is going to be from Psyduck, which is also an OG Pokemon from the water elements. He's a real cute, big round build duck, psychic power. We like him. And Psyduck really loved this harness made by Queen Moore. It's a dog life jacket, shark fin, safety vest adjustable. It goes on and on with a lot of other boring words, but it's in gray. And Psyduck said, adorable, life-saving, perfect size, and great color. Easy to put on, worth the price, gives me comfort. My dogs can't drown. She's a little dumb, and she would drown in 2 inches of water if I let her.
I wonder what kind of dog.
Probably one of those mountain dogs that I was talking about.
Ma'am, do you have the mountain dogs? The ones that just kind of sunk under and gave
that one when it comes to 2 inches of water.
How terrible is that? But she knows, so she's like, I need that life vest even when we walk in the rain, because you never know.
That's good. I'm glad she's being safe.
Right. Those puddles out here in these rainstorms, you never know.
Well, the flash flood warnings that we get over here.
Yeah, it could be a 2-inch puddle, could be 2 feet. You won't know until your dog sinks into it.
Not down the road. Now, shark life jacket.
You'll know which puddle he fell in because you'll see the fin.
That's creepy.
I really wish you put a picture of the dog or just a hint at the breed. Is it a big dog or a little dog? My first instinct, if it's not your mountain dog friend that failed your hydrotherapy class, then I would. This may be an unpopular opinion, but some kind of doodle is what I...
Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree. They can be a bit dumb.
They lost a lot of the brains that come from being standard poodle or golden retriever. when they meshed, the two brains like kind of melted, maybe?
Yeah. And I'd say it depends. We've got a couple that come in that have had some good training and they're not that bad. They're actually pretty smart. But there's some that have come in, I'm just like, oh my good Lord.
I groomed before I worked in vet medicine. And when I left grooming is when the doodle craze was starting. And almost every new pet through the door was doodle. And I got carpal tunnel in my wrist from brushing these knotted doodles that I was like, this is not my line of work anymore. That's when I went to vet medicine because now I don't have to press them. It was tough.
I don't think I could ever be a groomer, especially because they're more likely to be aggressive as well, the dog. We're lucky. We don't really come across that in our line of work, like where dogs are getting gnarly with me. So
that's nice.
There's probably one dog in the moment that can be unpredictable, that he is wearing a basket muzzle when he comes in, because he has grumbled before, and to be safe for everybody, we need to do it. Then there is a corgi that was coming into us that constantly we were trying not to get bitten. And in the end, the dog did get me and made me bleed on my hand. And it was like, look, you know, your dog should be wearing a muzzle and it doesn't have to be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just what she's like. So then I asked more questions and I said, what's she like around children? And she said, oh, as long as they give her space, she's fine.
So don't.
I'm like, your dog definitely needs to be wearing a muzzle. You're allowing your dog to be around these children and she is likely to bite them. So the owner went out and she brought one in and literally just cried the whole time we were swimming this dog because she's wearing a muzzle. And I was just like, do you know what? I don't care. Like, if she didn't want to come back after that.
That's silly.
I don't want to get bitten by a dog. And if you're not going to be a responsible dog owner, then you don't need to be here. Look, unfortunately, a lot of the time it comes down to fear. Sometimes it comes down to them just being wired differently, I think. But sometimes it comes down to being a bit of fear and pain. So one of the dogs is coming at the moment and he's really sore. He's hurting. So if we, even if we're just like really light with him, he's really sensitive and he doesn't want to be touched in those places. Or even the dogs that I've worked with like so many times, I am still mindful of what they're doing and their facial expressions and if there's any change. And I think anybody should be like this with dogs anyway. You need to be reading their body language. This comes down to driving as well over here in the USA. About what everybody else is doing, because they're the reason you're going to have a bloody accident.
I always have considered myself like an okay driver. Passengers have always like doubted my driving a little bit, and they do it to be funny, I think. But the other day, I'm at a red light, and the car next to me is honking. I don't sit on my phone at red lights or anything like that. I do sometimes catch myself staring off into space, and I miss it turning green. And I have something on my mind I'm planning. It's not because I'm in my phone. I'm not one of those jerks. So I thought, oh gosh, I missed the light. And I look up, it's still red. So it's not that. I look over and the guy in the car next to me is telling me to put my window down. And I did because he seemed to be asking nicely. And so one of my friends at work, she's like, you only put it down a little. No, I put it all the way down, like as you would, right? Because you're in traffic. Why not?
What's window down?
Said, where are you going? And I was like, him, you're not thinking that there's any bad intent here. We're just having a conversation at a red light, I guess. And then he was like, why? And I'm like, well, because my stuff is there. Because I want to. I don't know.
This is so bizarre.
Yeah. Then he asked where my boyfriend was, and I said, home waiting for me. And then it turned into, oh, well, I would have married you otherwise, or something along those lines. I was like, okay. And put my window back up and try not to make any more eye contact.
Yes.
I was told by my husband not to put my window down for strangers in traffic.
Yeah, that's, I would agree with that. I mean, over here, even when I get into my car after being at Walmart or whatever, I lock that as soon as I get in. And again, I'm always like on alert, like looking around me. Tip for dog. Well, this is a tip, okay? Because this is one thing that I literally do not understand people don't do over here. An indicator on your car is used to basically indicate to other people about something you're about to do. Okay. So if you're going to turn.
Oh, we turned the
tone down and then indicating when you're turning and helping no one. So the idea is you're supposed to indicate probably, I don't know, 130 yards or something before you're going to turn.
Right.
So you can let the people know behind you, oh, they're going to be turning soon. Then you brake. So what infuriates me the most over here is people constantly braking and not indicating and then turning. And then they're slowing down in front of you. You're like, why are they slowing down? And then it's because they're turning. But they don't know how to use their indicator.
I like when I do put my indicator turn signal on and the person who is right there decides they're going to like either speed up or match my pace. And now I can't get over and I have to slow down to get behind them. Like, the point was I'm telling you, hey, I need to get over there because I have a turn on that side that's probably coming up. Instead, they're like, oh, you're not going to get ahead of me.
I know.
Sometimes it also works against you, but I agree. Totally use it. It's there for a reason.
Yeah, it's to let people know what you're about to do.
What does a typical day look like for sessions for you? How do you guys start them?
We've got like them noted down in blocks. A typical day is coming in and water testing. So making sure the chemicals are right.
Oh, good. I didn't think of that.
So we use bromine, not chlorine, just because it doesn't stink as bad. It apparently isn't as harsh on the skin. And I've never had any issues with being in it. So we need to check the pH, the alkalinity, and the bromine levels.
How long are the slots usually?
If it's a fun and fitness conditioning, we allocate 30 minutes. If it's a rehab session, we allocate 45 minutes. Because we spend a little bit longer in the water. We also have our jacuzzi spa with massage after. That's included in it. So we do that afterwards and have a little bit of massage. And we just find doing that afterwards can reduce the dog being overly sore. So yeah, it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Yeah, that's about it really. We work in all day. We normally have, I'd say on a busy day, probably 15 dogs in a day. And it could be hydrotherapy or they could be coming in for laser therapy or shockwave therapy. Those standalone things as well. Yeah, we've just got a mixture of things going on throughout the day.
When you guys get out of the pool, especially with those double coated breathe, how are you getting them dry to send home? Are they just going home wet?
We always rinse the dogs off afterwards. One of the things, if we have to get the dog out of the pool, they're normally on a ramp and it's a little bit higher than, it's probably at chest level when you're assisting them down the ramp. So if you're ever the person who has to do that, you're always trying to get them down the ramp before they start shaking. Because the long-haired dogs, they shake and literally it's all over your face, it's your bloody glasses, everything. So we rinse them off and we've got these special towels. They look like chamois, but they're not. They're the towels. So we use them. It soaks up all the water, rinse it out.
Love those.
And keep doing that for a bit. And then if they're only a towel dry, we'll towel dry them. And most likely they've bought a rough and tumble dog drying coat from us, which has come from the UK. We're one of two stockists in the whole of USA. The dog drying coat. They can wear them, obviously, after bath time, after hydrotherapy. I put them on my dogs after being out in the rain. Most of our clients have one of those.
Do you have a website that you sell them off of as well? Or do you have to go there to get them?
If you contact us, I think we are listed on their website as a stockist. So if there is a particular size that you want, then you can just contact us and we can ship it domestically. If you buy from them directly, it's coming from the UK, and then you've got the shipping costs and everything else with it, which isn't cheap. We bulk buy. We just have that one shipping cost. I am working on being able to have an online shop. That is a whole thing and blows my mind. I've tried doing it for, it takes a lot of effort and time, and I'd rather someone else just do it for me because I just don't have the time. So if someone wants to create my shop for me, they're welcome to do that. We do have a blow drying room.
Okay. Most dogs hate the blow
dryer. I'd say majority of the dogs get blow dry though at ours. I always give it a go. We can start low. We keep it low and kind of like ease them into it. But they're well made and they last. You can get them personalized too. So you can put your dog's names on them. So I've got a couple of clients that had, you know, their dog's names put on it at the same time, which I think it's an extra $5 or something. So it's not a massive upcharge, you know, to do that. But yeah, I love them. They also have cooling coats. So that's the new thing that they came out with last year. So I've got tons of those in stock at the moment. A cooling coat. So if you're going out with your dog, even in early morning here, it's quite warm. You could put one of these cooling coats on him to help when you're on.
To take a little walk and they don't get too hot too fast. I like that. Do you have a, what we might call hydro hero, a dog of yours that you have been doing sessions with that has made an amazing recovery?
I'd say there's a few over the time we've been working there, but I'd say there's a couple that come to mind. And I'd say the first one, his name is Jake. He's a corgi. He didn't make a recovery because he had degenerative myelopathy, but he was given like 6 months. And when he came into us, like he lived for another 18 months.
Oh my, that's amazing. How many sessions was that? Like once a week?
It varied. And there were times when mum didn't bring him in for weeks because she traveled a lot. Like she was a horse trainer. So she would go to all these different competitions across the US. But when she was there, she would either bring him two or three times a week sometime. She just tried to do what she could when she could. And honestly, the hydrotherapy and the laser therapy is what helped slow down the progression. When he came into us, he was at the stage where she had him on a harness and he wasn't really using his back legs anymore. But when we got him in the pool, he was swimming and he was able to kick his legs. That always just made me feel so happy.
That's amazing.
That in itself, like getting him in the pool and swimming, helps him to build and maintain his core muscles. So a lot of the time when dogs are losing their ability to hold their bowels in, it's because they've lost a lot of that core strength. So we normally find once we start hydrotherapy, that somewhat improves. That was Jake. He was amazing. And then a recent one, again, another corgi, Lola.
Corgis are really making a big splash over in your line of work.
And do you know what? I never thought I'd want a corgi, but the corgis I've met, I'm like, I want a corgi. But they have certainly back issues. So Lola came in after having spinal surgery. When she came in, she wasn't using her back legs and she had very little like feeling and sensation. She's walking now. She's using her back legs and she only had surgery, I think, early February. She's able to go to the bathroom. She's using her back legs again. So yeah, she's done fantastic.
That's impressive. I really like the results I'm hearing. You might actually know the answer to this question. But do you know what a dog's favorite swimming stroke is?
This is going to be one of those, another joke, Nessie. No, I can't. I don't know. I'm literally thinking.
It's the doggy paddle.
Obviously. Oh, it's going to be better than that.
They do it perfectly.
We need to work on these, I think.
You do. Okay. Well, I have mentioned before there's the reason I'm in vet medicine and not a comedian.
And you like to open your windows to strange.
That too. I'm going to do better. Next time I'll just spread an ass. Our next review is from Tentacool, which is the jellyfish looking Pokemon. This I thought was a pretty cool product. It is a dog float and it comes with little, these little things right here are
for the dog, surely.
It's not for a dog.
So you put the dog in the big one, and then these little ones on the side here are for your drink.
We put it
really cute. Doesn't? Yeah, there was a lot of reviews on it. It got 4.5 stars with 19 reviews, so a lot of people did like it. It is called Dog Pool Float Funny Inflatable Dog Float.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wrong flamingo.
Think flamingo. So Tenth Cool gave it 5 stars. It's actually pretty cool, I guess.
How do you do that?
It says, perfect for pool parties. So cute and funny. Love the clear because my dog can still see the water under her. The little duck drink holders are awesome and actually hold your drink. Perfect for a pool party or trip to the beach. Very versatile. Can also use as a cooler. Fill it up with ice and drinks and let it float around in the pool. So worth the $20 to $30. Holds air perfectly with no leaking until I let the air out.
Oh, okay. So do you think they were probably mostly using it for their drinks?
It sounds like they maybe initially started it for maybe the dog, but then they're like, you know what this is better as than a dog float? A floating cooler. Filled it with ice to put their drinks. Yeah. I wouldn't trust my dog to that little float. And it's clear bottom. Like, why does the dog need to see the pool water?
They can't see it. That's, I think, half the problem is they... I don't think they can see blue.
I don't think that they see it well, but yeah, I would imagine that they need the clear bottom float.
No, I think that's probably just making it more terrifying for them.
Well, it doesn't matter because it worked great as a floating cooler. And then I guess he got a duck one. I think there was other versions besides the flamingo. There's like also a duck option.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He did not think that flamingos were ducks, I think.
Maybe. We don't know.
We don't know. Around here, it's just a bird is a bird to most people. So he bought these for the pool party and he was like, my dog wants to hang out in the pool with us. I just know it.
Yeah. And I think that's a common misunderstanding with people and their dogs, because a lot of the time they don't want to get in the pool.
They don't.
My lab don't like water.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I bet you they'd do all right in the treadmill. All the labs that we get coming in, they really take to the water, especially the swimming. And they're normally, they like retrieving. So, you know, as soon as you get a ball or something involved, that's it. They're happy.
I took them to the dog beach once, and my black dog, he's actually the smarter of the two, was just drinking the beach salt water. Oh, it was so embarrassing. He stopped in front of these people, like laid out in the sand with their dogs and just
grew up,
pooped out salt water.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's making me feel sick just thinking about water.
I tried to gather them up quickly and leave. You were saying Blue Pearl recommends your services. So the hydrotherapy has a pretty strong veterinarian recommendation behind it then?
Yeah. So we worked really hard with building up the relationships with the vets in the area. And again, it was just working on them understanding that, you know, we're not taking anything away from them. We want to just be part of the solution, not just medication. We can help a dog recover and not rely heavily on medication. That's great. So I've spent a lot of time doing some lunch and learns, but we do require a veterinary referral or consent. It's just the law, and it gives us a background on the dog and any medical conditions and everything else. And we do take a lot of guidance from the vets as well. So if there is something we're seeing that's different, that's not noted on that paperwork, we will refer them back to their primary vet and say, hey, we've picked up on this. Can you take another look and tell us what you think? So it's about working together.
So you don't have people that call up and they're just like, hey, can I start signing my dog up for hydrotherapy? It has to be...
Normally they see on our website that we do require our consent form to be completed by their primary vet.
Even for the dogs that are doing sport nutrition or the sport training and that kind of thing?
Yeah, just for peace of mind, I want to make sure that the vet, their primary vet, is happy that that dog is able to do hydrotherapy. And also, like I said, background on the animal.
Yeah.
If there's anything that changes along the way, you know, we've had dogs that have come in because we're seeing them more often than they did with the vets. Their weight has been dropping. And I'm like, right, your dog shouldn't be losing this much weight. You need to go back to the vet. And they've gone back to the vet, found out the dog had a 9-pound tumour on spleen and has cancer. So we were able to get this save the dog in that way. There's things like even doing the heart rate. We look at the heart rate every time they come in. And I had dogs where it's changed a bit. I'm listening to heart rates at least once a week. When it comes in and there's a slight change, I'm like, this sounds different to me. And I might get someone else to listen to it and say, okay, can you go back to the vet and just ask them to listen to your heart rate? And we've picked up on like maybe a murmur, or they've been sent off to cardiologists, etc. So it is important to have the consent, definitely, from the vet.
I like that you guys work together, and it definitely brings that little bit of reassurance knowing that you guys are partners in this. Does a dog need to know how to swim in order to come do hydrotherapy with you?
No, and in fact, most dogs that come into us have had very little exposure to water. So we always start on the treadmill. It allows the dog to adjust and allows me to get to know the dog. It allows the dog to get to know me, so they're not overly scared and we can build up on that confidence. We'll work in the treadmill for some time. And then if I think, do you know what, I think this dog would do good in the pool, then we'll give it a go. Some dogs take to it instantly. Some dogs take a couple of sessions. We just introduce them slowly.
Yeah, I'd say the majority of people that come into us, all my dog doesn't like water is the common thing. And I'm like, I've only had to turn away like two people before. Most of the dogs that come in, they get on with it. They get used to it and they build up their confidence and they get on with it. Working with the dogs as individuals and reading, like I said, the body language and just adjusting the session so you can build on that confidence.
We have another review here from Lapras, which I picked because she is the closest to a Loch Ness monster, which is what I go by, Nessie, the lunch Ness monster, because I like lunch. Our next product is actually a inflatable water ramp to help dogs get in and out of pools or boats. And it has a 200-pound weight limit.
Well, that's quite cool. Oh, I like that.
Oh, this was a thing. And so our next review is 3 stars from Lapras. And they said, served the purpose. The Dog Doc is a solid product. I gave it 3 stars because even though it seems to be built well, there's not much to it. And also, the travel bag shown is not the bag you get. Not even close. For the false advertising and the $160 cost is why it's 3 stars.
Oh, wow. That's a hefty price.
It is a hefty price. And because the bag, the travel bag they send you isn't like the one in the picture, that's false advertising.
That is. And I like the idea and the concept of it, but I'm really not going to spend $160 on a...
Some people were saying they bought it to put in the deep end of their pool because they would have, like, dogs that would go swimming in their in-ground pool and not make it back to the steps in the shallow end. And so they wanted them to be able to get out on the deep end, too. And so I kind of liked that idea, but that is expensive for it to not have a Matt King travel case.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I like the idea, though. That is a good idea for people with having their own calls, definitely.
People were using it also to help their dogs get on and off of their boat when they go their dog down the water. So it attaches there to the boat and your dog can get in and out easily. So I'm not swimming in any water that's not a pool, but if they want to, like, go. Dude, I have a big fear of what's, like, living in that water.
Girl, I'll be honest. I'm all right in the ocean if I'm near, like, not too far from shore. So I like snorkeling. You know, that's fine. I can see around me and I'm with other people or whatever. I would not jump into the ocean if I couldn't see the bottom.
We have a couple of Mythbusters. Do you want to knock those out real quick?
Yeah. Any pool or water activity counts as hydrotherapy. False. Again, that comes back to all the things we've been talking about, that hydrotherapy is about the warmth of the water and it's controlled exercise, not crazy swimming in the pool and then getting swimmer's tail.
And then older dogs should rest and not exercise.
Older dogs, just like older people, should continue to move and maintain some muscle for their longevity. If they don't, then they'll go down faster. And I think my dog, Sam, he's 15. He's a good example of a dog that's continued to move and do some form of exercise. And people who meet him, they're surprised that he's 15. And I would say now he's 15, he is slowing down. He has his hard days. He's a lab, but otherwise he looks good. And it's just about keeping him moving so he doesn't sniff and thaw.
That's important. Do you have some at-home tips, like some water games or mobility exercises with vet approval that they might could try at home? Or is this always something that should be done under the watchful eye of professionals?
I would say kids paddle pool is great. It's just having a bit of fun outside. It's not hydrotherapy. I would also say if you do have your own pool, you really need to be careful with having free access to the pool. We've had dogs that have drowned, not our dogs. I'd say gentle water games would be like, you know, just letting them play in the paddling pool or whatever. Get them, you know, enjoying and having fun in the water.
Always supervise.
Yes, absolutely. And I also do think if you're going out on the lake with your dog, always wear a life jacket. But even if you're swimming them at home, you know, they really should be wearing a life jacket. It's just going to take, if they are panic swimming or whatever, it's easy to get tired.
So wear the life jacket, but it also helps you if you need to get a hold of your dog quickly. You've got an easy way of doing that. But at home exercises, I've shared some exercises on my Instagram page, and we do offer an at home 12-week program specific to different conditions that's been developed by a rehab vet.
So is that after they go through an in-clinic rehab with you, then you send them home on a program?
I have people that haven't been into our clinic. They live outstate and they don't have hydrotherapy near them. And they want to look after their dogs. They want to make sure they're doing all the right things. So this program enables them to do that, because it's not only the exercise you get all the information on the nutraceuticals, pharmaceuticals that you could consider for that specific condition, different tools, all of that. Or if you can't buy the tools, what you can use at home as well. So it's a really cool program, like I said, specific to different needs. I offer that out to anybody in the US. And then obviously we do have people that do it in clinic as well that can, the more you do, the better results you're going to see with your dog at the end of the day.
How do you know if your dog is going to benefit from hydrotherapy?
I think every dog can benefit from hydrotherapy. It's more so to do with the dogs that might not adjust to hydrotherapy. They're the ones that won't benefit. But I am a firm believer that every dog could benefit from hydrotherapy, you know, puppy to senior.
Yeah, to some degree. And what is a turtle's favorite poolside snack?
I'm trying to think of what it could be, and I can't think what it could be.
Gelato.
Oh, is that like gelato?
Yeah, but for Del. Yeah, Delano. Yeah.
They're really good, Messy.
But we actually will go ahead and do a wrap up here. Do you have some websites or information so people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. Find me on www.scubasams.com. We're on Instagram, Scuba Sams, Facebook, Scuba Sams. Then we're also on TikTok, where one of my videos went viral when Sam pooped in the treadmill.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
apparently people like to see dogs pooping. So I do need to post a video of Kalachi pooping in the treadmill.
Yeah.
I'm sure that will go viral. But yeah, they're the main ones. And if you want to join my newsletter, go to the website, go to contact us, and you can just put your details in there and it'll get sent to me and I can add you to the newsletter.
Oh, a newsletter sounds fun.
It's highlighted around. So last week I shared my 3 supplements for joint health. What's changed in the industry? It's not about glucosamine and chondroitin anymore. My 3 things for joint and muscle health for senior dogs is what I shared. Week before that, it was, I think it was like 3 exercises you could be doing. So yeah, I'm always trying to share tips and ideas for people to do things at home with their dogs.
I'm definitely going to be signing up for this newsletter. Anything else you want to add?
No, it's amazing. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for paddling through another episode with us. I know, I'm killing you guys with my jokes and what? All of you. But give your pups some extra snuggles, stay curious, and we'll catch you next time. Same time, same leash. Ashley in the lab, bubbles on the rise, scuba gear strapped, goggles on her eyes, Samsung tech glowing, undersea surprise, hydrotherapy for pets, tail synchronized, fish tanks gleam, dogs padding through, cats in a floaty, feeling brand new, splish splash magic, Ashley's breakthrough, hydrate the soul, it's a pet spa rendezvous, splish splash, Ashley's on the grind, healing paws and fins, one tail at a time. Bubbles popping, rhythm in her mind. Scuba suit queen, very refined. Splish splash, Ashley's on the grind. Healing paws and fins, one tail at a time. Bubbles popping, rhythm in her mind. Scuba suit queen, very refined. Hum softly, water whirlpool spin, furry clientele, happiness within. Ashley's got the skills, got the world to win. Samsung in the corner, let the show begin. Underwater dreams, bubbles tell the tale. Every wag in me out, Ashley set sail. Hydro vibes ripple in the pet care trail. Scuba chic healer, never gonna fail. Splish splash, Ashley's on the grind. Healing paws and fins, one tail at a time. Bubbles popping, rhythm in her mind. Scuba suit queen, very refined. Splish splash, Ashley's on the grind. Healing paws and fins, one tail at a time. Bubbles popping, rhythm in her mind. Scuba suit queen, very refined.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.